The reading this morning is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, reading from verses 19 to 29. The church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord.
So we move through the book of Acts, and everything in Acts has a purpose. It's not just stories that Luke collects, but this is where people were first called Christians. So all of us who are Christians here, that is where the name came from. I find it really interesting that if you took a time machine back to the very first few days and years of the Christian church, and you spoke to Peter and the disciples, and you said, "Oh, I'm a Christian," there is a possibility that they would say, a what? But this is where the word Christian comes from. It's a Greek word, Christianos, Christ, which is Messiah, anointed one, and Ion, which means little Christ. And most scholars suggest that the word Christian originally was a term that was a bit derogatory, but it was a name that was picked up later by Christians and used. And so now we are the Christian church due to what happened in this chapter. Anyway, Wednesday we had Alpha, and I asked everyone in my group about inspirational people. My question, my icebreaker, was if you got stuck in a lift with two famous people, one from history who's no longer alive, and one person who's alive today, who would you like to be stuck in a lift with? Have a think about that. And talk to the person next to you or behind you. Two people, who would you like to be stuck in a lift with or invite for dinner? Someone, you can't say Jesus because Jesus is the answer, of course, but two people that you inspire you. Who would you like to have met or meet? So let me tell you the two people that I said, and there are lots of people, to be fair. One of the people I'd like to meet is Jurgen Klopp. I think his man management skills are fantastic. as well as his shining white teeth, of course, Jürgen Klopp. The second one, I would love to have met Joan of Arc, except I can't speak French. But if I could speak French, I'd like to know how she heard from God and what she actually believed in. So they're two people that I find inspirational in so many ways. And there's so many other people. Steve Irwin, the animal person. I used to love Steve Irwin, the way he would jump on a croc. And I think, wow, I couldn't do that. Well, today's passage, someone comes to light again. Someone very encouraging. Someone who is inspirational and very supporting. And that person is Barnabas. Now, Luke introduced Barnabas in his account in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And he's called Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. So if we just put the first slide up. I went to Cyprus and I found Barnabas. Obviously, many, many hundreds and hundreds of years later, that is allegedly Barnabas's tomb. Because if you hear the story of how they think that's Barnabas, a lot of it is down to someone having a dream and thinking that Barnabas is buried in the field. They dug up the field and lo and behold, there's Barnabas. So that's who they say is Barnabas, also known as Joseph. And it says in Acts 4:36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This was to share with others. That's Barnabas. Even from the very moment we see Barnabas in our scriptures, he wants to give, he wants to encourage, he wants to support. And so the question then that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we measure up with Barnabas? Okay, how encouraging are you as a person? When was the last time you encouraged someone? I think some people have got more ability to be more encouraging than others. I sometimes can be pessimistic. Some people are always the optimist. And encouragement, though, is important, isn't it? What about us as a church, Eastgate Union Church? Are we known to be an encouraging family in what we do in our ministries? So I found today's scripture to be really encouraging. And the points that I've found in this chapter, chapter 11, I think there are things there that we can learn from to help us in encouraging ourselves and other people. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We need to be positive. We need to encourage one another. So our story takes place, of course, in the book of Acts. Some people call it the Actions of the Apostles. I actually think it's the Actions of the Holy Spirit. And that covers 35 years of the beginning of church history. It's written by Dr. Luke, who is a Greek Gentile. And he's writing it to Theophilus, which means friend of God, yes, who was probably a Gentile Greek as well. Why is this important? Well, because God raised up the people of Israel to be his people, to show the world that he can love and to show that he has a plan for his people and the world. Now, his people, this was all shown through the Jewish nation, Israel, who were descendants of Abraham. The world was in darkness, but we have mentioned over the past couple of weeks that it was always God's intention to reach the Gentile people. It wasn't meant to be just, well, only you can be my people. It was always God's intention to reach the world. And I mentioned a couple of verses before in previous sermons. We have Genesis 12, 2 and 3, where God tells Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then we have a verse in Isaiah 49:6, which says, I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. It always was God's plan to reach everybody, not just to the Jewish nation. So God sends his son, Jesus, to come and save us. He dies on the cross. He takes our sin and gives us new life through his Holy Spirit. He rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and before he ascends to heaven, he tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. If we put the next slide up, we can see. Okay, so you can see Jerusalem at the bottom there. You can see just under Judea, you can see Jerusalem. That's where the church had to wait until Pentecost. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' plan is for you and me, for the Jewish people, to reach the Gentiles. So Pentecost happened in Jerusalem. And then we had persecution, where Paul, or Saul, wanted to put loads of Christians in prison. The church was scattered, and then they scattered into Samaria, which you can see just above Jerusalem, near Caesarea. And the Samaritans were a mix of Jew and Gentile. They were not looked down, they were looked down upon by the Jewish people. Many Samaritans became Christians, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they went to Samaria, and many became believers. Peter went up, prayed for them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And now comes the final part, the Gentiles, of course, which we've been looking at. Cornelius, who was a centurion, who was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. And God told Peter to go to see Cornelius. And he went and he baptized Cornelius and his family, and something amazing happened. They too were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, the leader of the church, was involved in all of those things. That's the story so far. So let's have a look at what this chapter says. What can we take from this chapter? I've got three things just to have a look at. If we put the slide up, the next slide. The first thing is, let's turn trials into opportunities. Now, one thing that we're known for in this country is rain, isn't it? Okay. If you went round the world and you were meeting people in language schools even, and you say, name one thing about Britain that's British, and it is the rain. And Louth has a history of rain, doesn't it? There was a flood in 1920. And if you go to the local museum, they have a whole area of the museum dedicated to 1920 and the flood that happened here. Now, we can't cope when it gets a bit more extreme, can we? How many times have trains stopped because there were leaves on the rails? Or how many times have schools closed because it's too cold? And yet, having lived in Poland, I can vouch that they have colder weather than us. They have more snow than us. In fact, in the summertime, it's hotter than this country. But their country doesn't come to a close. And I'm sure for all those who like Australia, even though it's so hot, they don't come to a close. But when we get extreme weathers, it's like, no, close everything down. We just can't cope. We're not geared up for it. When it comes to our spiritual lives, our practical lives, we can be very British too. We can go, oh no, it's too much, and we close down. We're not geared up for it. But We know from Scripture that if you follow Jesus, if you say, yes, I'm a Christian, then you're a target. Okay? If you say, I'm a Christian, you will have persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It doesn't say all those who follow Jesus. You might be persecuted. You might have some troubles. You might get a bit fortunate. No, you will be persecuted. Jesus said that, didn't he, in John? You know, before they persecute you, they persecuted me. You will face difficulties. And the reason being is because there is an enemy. Because if you are living for Christ, the more you live for Christ, the more the devil worries. What the devil wants to do is destroy you, pull you away from God. What happens in chapter 11, verse 19? There was persecution. Remember, Stephen was martyred. He was killed for being a Christian. The Jews fled. They travelled, and it says they ended up in Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch. And what did they do? Did they feel sorry for themselves? Oh, such a terrible time. Let's just keep quiet. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to go through this again. Is that what happened? No. They preached more. Do you know Jesus? We know this guy called Jesus. And they started preaching. They didn't hold back just because they went through a difficult time. They knew they had to tell people about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it says a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And look what it says. They preached and God's blessing was upon them. It says, and the Lord's hand was with them. God wants you and I to tell people all about Jesus. Please don't hide your faith. Please don't say, well, I don't want to. I'm not sure. If you tell people about Christ, if you're unashamed, then Jesus will not be ashamed of you. His hand will be with you. And what happens as a result of people preaching, the first Gentile church came into being. The first international church. Wow. Isn't that great? And it wasn't just to the Jews. They preached to the Gentiles. Everybody. We should never give up telling people about God. Don't live in self-pity. The first Christians were treated badly, but they didn't allow that to embitter them. They went out, they preached, and they started a new church. It was in a place called Antioch, and Antioch was known as Antioch the Beautiful. It was the Rome of the East. It was the third important city in the Roman Empire. You had Rome, you had Alexander, and then you had Antioch. It was a gateway to the east. So you actually had lots of people who were Greek. You had Romans, Jews, you had Persians, Indians, probably people from the Orient. It was known as very cosmopolitan. It was known for its business, its wealth, but also its immorality. Did you know there was 500,000 people that lived in Antioch? And you're thinking, well, 500,000? Well, in those days, the population was a lot less than it is today. So 500,000 was, in those days, a lot of people. And if you go on holiday to Turkey, it's now called Antakya. So if you go on holiday to Turkey and you fancy visiting Antioch, just ask to go to Antakya. The second point is stepping out in faith. Now, we like to be safe, don't we? Quite often, we had issues going to St. Michael's school. There was no lollipop lady, and cars wouldn't stop for children to cross the road. And when children did cross the road, there were some cars that were dangerous. They were looking to be safe. And now I'm happy to say that there's a new lollipop lady up at St. Michael's. And now people feel very safe. And they advertise that position for quite some time. And this lady, this lollipop lady, and I can't think of her name, it was emailed to me, she has filled that role. That is her role. You too have not been called to be lollipop ladies and men, but you have been called to a special role. The church is a body, isn't it? Full of different parts. A hand, a foot. Because a hand cannot be a foot. So all of us are different. All of us have a place in church, and all of us have been called by God to have to do something, to be part of his church. But remember, a hand cannot be a foot. So if I'm a hand, let's just say, if I'm a hand, I can't be a foot. So whoever is the foot, please move, please tap your toes, because I can't be you and you can't be me. This means that all of us have a part to play in the body of Christ. And it's not just, well, we can just all fit in. No, you have a specific role to play in the church. And often, one of the hardest things is to know what that role is, because some of us, we don't know what we're good at. Maybe we've not tried something. But actually, we need to be talking to each other, don't we? And sharing and encourage one another. What are you good at? Get involved. So don't hide. Don't be shy. Don't have doubts. Jesus asks you and me to step out of that boat onto the stormy sea and trust him. For Barnabas, that was his role. His role. He was sent. Because in verse 22, news reached Jerusalem again. It's amazing, isn't it, how news always gets back to Jerusalem before people get there. Remember Peter last week, we talked about Peter. He baptizes Cornelius. He gets to the church of Jerusalem and they're all waiting. Peter, what have you done? And here, news reached Jerusalem again. They have some good ears. It's like people like that in church. I mean, if something happens, there's one or two people who've got their ears to the ground and they know what's going on. It's amazing how news gets back. So they send Barnabas. They didn't send Peter this time. Notice that. They didn't send Peter. They sent Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Now, we often think of Peter and Paul, don't we? As Peter, Paul, and everybody else. People like Peter and Paul, could be like that without encouraging people. Barnabas was absolutely essential. And if you ask all these great speakers, Billy Graham, you can't now because he passed away. But if you ask any of these great speakers, they'll always talk about not other great speakers, but the people that have encouraged them. And it's people that you and I will never have heard of. People that we'll never meet. Here's Barnabas. What does Barnabas do? He has a role, a purpose. He goes up to Tarsus to look for Saul. And he brings him to Antioch. Barnabas knew he needed Paul on this adventure. I'm sure Paul and Barnabas were very different, but they needed each other for this mission. We read in Acts 9, of course, that God says to Ananias about Paul. He says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" We left Paul in chapter 9, having been converted. He was preaching in Damascus after he became a Christian, and they tried to kill him. It was Barnabas that brought Paul to the church in Jerusalem. And of course, they tried to kill him there. And everyone's thinking, "Oh no, Paul isn't even one that tried to kill us. I don't want to meet him. This is a trap." But who was it? It was Barnabas. Listen, guys. I can vouch that Paul is saved. He is one of us. It was Barnabas. Can you imagine what would have happened to the future of church history if Barnabas didn't do that? Paul would have been left out of the church. He would have been his own individual person because the church couldn't accept him. But here's Barnabas. He's a bridge. He's an encourager. He said, "No, I can tell you that Paul is all right. He's okay. He stepped out in faith. He stepped into that role. And they were there for 1 year in Antioch teaching. That's longer than I've been here. I've been here less than a year. So for some of you, I've been here, it feels like that, and some like that. They were there for at least a year teaching the new converts. My final point as we've come to an end is we need to step into the gap. The chapter ends with believers coming and saying there's going to be a famine across the Roman Empire. Did the church just say, well, we need to look after ourselves then, don't we? They didn't. They said, look, we've got the resources. Antioch is a wealthy business, cosmopolitan city. We can step into the gap. We can help our brothers and sisters who don't have the resources. That's why it's important for us to pray for missionaries. That's why it's important for us to look out of ourselves and think, look, it's not about just us. Our brothers and sisters around the world are struggling. They don't have the resources, the finances that we do. So we have to, as a church, look around and say, right, what can we, as Eastgate Union Church, how can we step into those gaps? It's interesting with the financial downturn, where the government closed loads of youth centres, where the government have had to stop so many things because they don't have the money. In many places, the church has rubbed their hands thinking, well, someone has to step into the gap and help our community. And in many communities, the church has gone out and they've stepped into that gap and said, listen, we'll take this on because we believe God wants us to do that. So there are three pointers for you and I. Let's turn our trials into opportunities. Step out in faith. Ask God, where should I be? What's my role? And let's look around us and encourage our communities by stepping into the gap and helping where it's needed. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much that you use each one of us. Each one of us is special, unique, and has a gift. Lord, we thank you that we're all different and we're all part of your body. Lord, if anyone here doesn't feel part of your body or doesn't know where they should be, guide us. Guide us to that place where you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'll just use this church and use each one of us for your kingdom and purpose. Amen.